Hello, West Liberty. This is Haley, and you are listening to WGOZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. And today, I'm doing a special segment called Distinctive Discussion, where I get to talk to someone credible in their field or profession. And this interview will be done over our WGOZ request line. Today, calling all the way from California, we have Joshua Dobkin, who's an art director, who's worked on probably some of your favorite films and TV shows. Hello, Joshua.
Hi, Haley. Thanks for having me.
I'm not going to tell everybody yet exactly what you do. I want to wait to see what movies you've done, and because honestly, I'm also very excited about them as well. But we will get to that in the next segment. First, I wanted to talk about your education and your decision to work in the film and TV industry. Now, but also real quick, I also, because this is for me and others, what exactly does a art director do?
The art director is responsible for everything visual on screen that is not an actor. So anything scenery-wise, down to the props, the things that the actors are interacting with, the art director and production designer are in charge of establishing that look. Outside of that, those have individual departments. Costume designer obviously takes care of wardrobe, but anything on screen that is not an actor, that is the production designer and art director's responsibility.
Okay, is there anything you do specifically exactly?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it depends on what aspect and what kind of show you're making. You know, obviously set design is very important. If you have a budget and you can actually build sets, it helps for camera moves. I don't know, for independent filmmakers, I'm sure that they know when you're in a practical location, you can't really get the coverage that you need. So what we like to do is augment that with, you know, set piece or set walls that are able to either wild out or fly out so that you can, you know, shoot the certain angles that you need or do special camera moves. So a big part of what we do is, you know, drafting and designing what the set's going to be and how it's going to function on stage with the cinematographer and the director so that we can, you know, we can achieve the visual that we're trying to do. Everybody has an idea of what they want it to be, but sometimes the practicality of what you can do can be limiting. And what we do is try to make it work either on stage or in a space. So it's a lot of, there's construction elements to it, obviously. There's, you know, the colors of the walls, the wallpaper, the textures, the carpet, the furniture, all the things that might be a little bit mundane that some people might not notice on screen. A lot of time and effort has gone into figuring out what that's supposed to be for that character, for that scene. And then also, how does it function with the shooting crew? And then if you throw any sort of special effects or action sequences, and obviously that complicates things. That can, like, if you take like a Mad Max, like that is a whole different level of art direction and production design. But I mean, that's what we have to do. We have to figure out how everything works on screen with the camera, with the actors, and is it achievable and is it safe?
Okay. Now, did you pursue this like as a passion growing up? Like this, because I know there's a lot of aspects. Was this sort of like a passion or a hobby for you growing up?
It was probably more of a hobby. I would say it was like an accidental career path. You know, movies have always been a very big part of my life, and you know, my parents. I mean, it's since I've been a kid, from, you know, weekends at my dad's house, you know, running, you know, VHS tapes and either finding what the coolest horror movie was or the funnest action movie to watch. It's just always been a part of my life, and I never really knew that could be a career path, I would say, because as a kid, you just don't know. You know, I would make home movies with my brother when my dad got a, you know, an old camcorder, which is, you know, they're gigantic compared to what, you know, your iPhones can do now. But we would, you know, roll around in the backyard and make little action movies and, you know, on VHS tapes or comedies. And it was just something that was fun. It was a hobby. And it wasn't until years later when I was on a career path for computer science. Like that's where I was going. That's what my major was, or my intended major was. And then I saw a little independent film called Clay Pigeons, And on the title card, I saw my last name in the title card. It was the director. It was David Dotkin. And just seeing that last name was confusing for me because I was like, I don't know anybody in the business. I don't know how you get your foot in the door. I didn't even think that was possible. And, you know, I talked to my dad and he said that I had like a distant relative that had, you know, gone through the Hollywood path and became a director. And just that tiny little, that seed, that inception moment of like, you can do this if you want to, that was enough to kind of steer me away from computer science and really just take the hobby to a whole new level.
I love that, actually. And so would you say that it was this director of that film with your last name that really inspired you or drive you to start to go into this major and go into the filmmaking?
I would say that made it seem feasible, right? It made it seem real. Because I grew up in Pittsburgh, and Hollywood is so far removed from growing up in that town. I mean, I would see occasionally there would be a film project. I mean, that was back in the 80s and 90s. There wasn't that much production in Pittsburgh, but it was there. But again, it seemed just so remote. It was these Hollywood filmmakers coming in, and to me, it was never a possibility. So just seeing that, having that tiny little connection, made it seem possible. Like, I didn't know how I was going to get there, but if somebody with my last name, if they did it, then there was a chance that I could do it too.
That actually sounds like really sweet. Now, you said you switched from computer science. Did you start computer science when you went to university?
Yeah, I did about a year and a half of it. I still kind of went down that road of coding, and it wasn't for me. I mean, it was very tedious. It is creative, but it just didn't fit for me. Like, I just kind of always felt uncomfortable in that position. And it wasn't until I kind of sat down and figured out, like, this isn't, I don't want to do this. There's something, there's this itch that I need to scratch, a creative itch. That I was like, I think I'm going to pull the plug on computer science and go to film school, which was like, you know, that's a big curveball to throw your parents. But they were super supportive of it. You know, I think if I didn't have that support system there of like, you know, yeah, go chase your dream. No, it's not silly. I don't know if I would have actually followed through with it, but when I told my dad and I told my mom that I didn't want to do the computer science thing, and I wanted to go give this filmmaking thing a try, They were all in. They said go for it.
I love that. I love having supportive parents with creative activities like this, especially since you're right. Like, sort of these like filmmaking jobs aren't usually seen as like quote unquote normal. Like, they're different. They don't follow a lot of like the exact same rules that people follow when they go into the business. But I'm glad that you had that support system. I don't think it would, I think things would be a little bit different if you didn't. Now,
definitely.
So, what inspired you to move to California? Was it simply a career-based decision, or did something else factor into it?
It's career-based. There was a hesitation to come out here first. I'll be honest. Like, when I graduated from film school, my plan was to kind of just hang tight locally, try to find some independent productions. I was terrified at the idea of New York or California. Like, that's big, right? That's a big jump. It's super far away. Like, once you're that far removed from home, you don't have a safety net on either sink or swim. And my wife at the time, she got a job offer. We were just dating back then in college, but she got a job offer for UCLA that she applied for kind of on whim, just like, yeah, let's just see if I can find something out there. And UCLA offered her a job. And that was enough to take the leap. I didn't know what I was going to do because I had no job, but she had a job lined up, and we just said, let's go. Let's give it a go. Let's move out there blind. I knew nothing about California. I didn't even know. I knew nobody. The only thing I knew about Hollywood was what I've seen on TV, and that was usually some dystopian action movie, so it was terrifying. But we made the jump, and we just went for it. And it was not easy, that's for sure. But worked out. It'll be 20 years this March, I think, that we've been out here. It'll be, 20 years.
Wow. Now, really quick, last question for this segment. Did you originally want to work in the art department when you decided on this, or was there a different department that interested you at first?
No, when I went to film school, writing, directing, and cinematography were my focal points. Art department in general was not my concentration. Like, obviously, everybody wants to be a writer, director, or a cinematographer, but as far as art department went, it was by accident. We were in the film program, and obviously we were doing like student projects, and we had some sets that needed to be built, but no one really knew how to build anything. We had a lot of people that, they were either film kids and they didn't know how to, run a saw or, cut lumber. But I had worked with my dad, and every summer my dad put me to work, either fixing or painting like properties, they were usually commercial properties. But I took that experience and I was like, yeah, I know how to run a saw, so for sure I'll do that. So I just kind of like happened into it. And even my first job in California, when I was working, I wasn't working in the art department. I was working on set as a set PA. And a position opened and they needed help in the art department. And they asked, do you know anything about art department? And I said, well, a little bit, but not really. And they said, great, here you go. You're in the art department now. And that's really kind of where the career took off. It was by total accident. I just knew enough to get me by, to survive in that spot.
Well, it sounds like it got you far enough. Well, thank you so far. And to anyone tuning in, my name is Haley, and you are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. And I'm currently interviewing Joshua Dobkin for a distinctive discussion. I previously asked about his education and why he wanted to pursue working in TV and film. Now I'm going to ask some questions about his job now and what his future plans and goals he may have. Now, I've been waiting to ask this question. I'm really excited. What are some projects that you have been a part of?
I've been a part of a lot of things. So I'll start from the beginning. My very first job where I broke in was on the NBC show Scrubs. And I worked on that show for, I think, about 5 seasons, which was one of my favorites. I still have friends from that show. So Scrubs, then I went on to do Cougar Town. I did The Office for, I think, 3 seasons. I did the movie Drive with Ryan Gosling. That was one of my favorites that I've done. I did the most recent Thor. So I worked on a Marvel movie. I did Thor Love and Thunder. Our Flag Means Death. That was recently an HBO show. It was a comedy about pirates. It was that one of my favorite things I've done as well. And I just finished the last season of Lone Star 911. That's the last project I've worked on. But there's a bunch in between, too. Honestly, I'd have to look it up on IMDb to remember all of them.
Yeah, and also, I'm trying not to freak out, because honestly, my family and myself, huge MCU fans. The fact that you've worked on Thor Love and Thunder sounds fantastic. Did you ever meet any of the celebrities that were working on those films?
Yeah, I meet them all the time. Like Chris Hemsworth. I guess like the celebrity like factor kind of starts to wear off after a while because they're just coworkers at the end of the day. But I will say that being on set with Chris, it was just fun. It was just fun to be in that space because he is Thor. There's not a lot of acting that goes there. Like, at least it doesn't seem like it to me. It's very natural. He does have that kind of, that's his voice. That's his bravado. That's who he is. He's very, he's larger than life and he's fun to be around. So yeah, it is cool to be around him, but at the end of the day, we're all working at the job, but you still get a little starstruck every once in a while when you see somebody like Spielberg. I said, Spielberg got me a little tongue-tied. I kind of forgot where I was for a minute, but I get to work with them all the time.
I totally understand the tongue-tied about when you see somebody, especially when I think it's usually somebody that's from, like, your childhood, and you meet them for the first time, and you feel like you want to speak to them, but, like, you just can't get the words out properly.
Yeah, you don't want to make yourself look like a fool. Like, that's, you know, obviously, like, the first thing you want to, like, it's like, oh, I'm a big fan. But we're all big fans, right? Like, you're in that space. But I think they appreciate it. I mean, honestly, like, at the end of the day, even for, like, Spielberg, you know, that's probably one of the reasons I'm in this business is because of him. And everybody that's on that set, I'm sure, has been impacted by, you know, someone of that caliber. So to them, I think it's rewarding knowing that you've inspired somebody to go down that road and become a filmmaker themselves. But for the actors, like, it might be a little different. You know, I don't know how they feel about it. But when you're working on, you're all peers, right? You're all coworkers at the end of the day, right? I feel like everybody loves making movies or TV. Like, they love what they do. And if you tell them you like what they do, I think they respect it and they enjoy it. I do. I mean, if, you know, when people tell me they like a show that I've worked on or a movie, I appreciate it. Like, that's what I live for.
Yeah, honestly, that makes so much sense to me that it's a huge thing, and I feel like it'd be a huge honor as well. Now, what is, or is it too different? What would an average workday look like for you?
Oh, average workdays are definitely not average, probably by most people's standards. 12 to 14 hour days, unfortunately, are pretty common. And I'm just trying to think. It could be in at 6 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning sometime. I mean, it depends what's going on. I mean, if you have a big construction build going on, you're in the mail space or the office very early to go over everything that's been going on the day before. How is the set coming along? Construction always has questions about the drawings that you've put out, because everything you design on paper the day before, it well works on paper, but sometimes when you get into the space, things change, and, you know, time constraints become an issue and materials become an issue. So you're in there very early, you're dealing with the stuff you're prepping ahead of time, then you're on set opening a set that is, you know, you have a new set going on at the same time, so you have the director in there and you have the cast in there and you have all these elements going on, and everybody's trying to get a feel for the space for the first time. And, you know, maybe you got it right off the bat and everything's 100%, but more than likely there's adjustments that need to be made. So it's very fluid. Things are always changing. Every day is not the same, which is a good thing and a bad thing. If you're looking for consistency, there's really none. I mean, every day is different. And that's the fun of it, but that's also the stress. So it's like, it can be extremely stressful at the same time as it is extremely rewarding and fun. It is. It's always a curveball. Nothing's the same. But, you know, that's what it is. It's a constant organized chaos is the best way to describe it.
All right. Now, what kind of experience do you think someone needs to get their foot in the door for TV and film, and how would they get it?
I'd say if it was 10 to 15 years ago, I would tell you that, you know, you need to move to either New York or California and kind of go the route that I did, which was to chase down productions, get your foot in the door, you know, work on some small stuff, as a PA and, you know, work your way up. That process still applies, but you can really do it anywhere. So if you're in the Western Pennsylvania area or the tri-state area, there are tons of projects going now, and the independent scene is so much better. It's basically reverting back to the way it was in the 90s, where independent filmmaking is going to be, you know, it's going to go through a boom. So if you have friends that want to make movies, help them out. Go that route. Learn everything you can and just find local productions to work on. Just make the phone call, send the email, look for things and postings of people that need help to shoot a short. Go that route. And there's literally film hubs everywhere now. There's Atlanta, there's New Mexico, there's Austin. There's tons of stuff going on in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, Ohio. Like, it's everywhere now. So just find out where those productions are and you know, look, if any department you're looking for, try to find who's listed as working in there, and you could Google anybody at this point and find them either on LinkedIn or Facebook and send them a message and just ask if, you know, can I help out? Do you need any help? And, you know, yeah, I mean, if you ask 9 times out of 10, you know, they'll either say, yes, I do, or not on this one, but send me your info and I'll bring you on to something when I need somebody. So just try to, you know, stay persistent and just keep trying to make films. Like, just do it with your friends and then do it as a profession if you can. Just keep asking, like, intern, PA, like, entry-level stuff. You just have to keep knocking on doors. I know it sounds old school, but knocking on doors, which is just emailing people, but it works.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, but thank you so much, Joshua, for calling in and being a part of our distinctive discussion.
Thank you for having me.
And this was very exciting for me, since that's also something that I personally want to do, work in TV and film, though I don't know as what. And hearing your perspective on things is just great to hear. Glad to know that everybody starts somewhere, and, like, you just have to try, you know? Now,
again, being persistent definitely will win out.
Yeah. Again, thank you so much. And you have been listening to WGOZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.